So we're halfway through our journey of Lent, which is good news and bad news, I guess. Good news is we're halfway through. The bad news is we're halfway through. So depending on what we've been doing with our Lenten journey, it could be either good news or could be bad news. There's still time to make up. If we've fallen short or not really engaged or really tried to enter into the spirit of it, I encourage you to do so. Recall last weekend's readings, incredible story just like today's, my favorite readings from John here. Last week was the woman at the well. We gleaned from that that Jesus not only was offering baptism, but there's also the nuptial image there and confession. And of course, Holy Communion. That is also the nuptial union. So Jesus is engaging these people, and I want to make a point that by the fact that Jesus is engaging them as individuals with their own individual situation, that should be great revelation for you and I. God is not just speaking some generic message to some faceless crowd of people, hoping that one size fits all. Every time you and I enter into Mass, in particular, but any type of prayer, we're encountering the one who created us out of love with a very specific purpose in mind for our lives. And it's our journey to make our way through this life and uncover what that particular vocation or call is on our life. This is part of the great adventure of being a Christian. Going down one alley and finding out, nope, that wasn't what the Lord wanted for me, and coming down another and all of a sudden discovering this is the one, but then, of course, there's hardships with that one, so then we slide in and uncover more. This is the whole adventure of our pilgrim journey here on earth. Look at our first reading. God is trying to rebuild, as we recall from Advent, the whole purpose of Jesus entering into this world is to restore what had been broken. Of course, with the original garden scene, but also what had happened over time, becoming enslaved. All of a sudden, they're on the edge of entering into the Holy Land. The Assyrians come and take over, and it's that northern part that the Assyrians first take over that Jesus now enters the scene, and we had the initial call, come follow me. And now we're at the end of the story, and we're seeing Jesus is, again, still trying to recreate and restore the 12 tribes, which now is the church, the apostles, the followers of the apostles, successors of the apostles, you and I 2,000-some years later. And here we are recognizing that we were born blind. Again, another image of our original sin. And the Lord does not leave us in our sin, but through our baptism, which we reflected on last week, we're restored. And in baptism, you recall that beautiful ritual we anoint, not only with chrism, the crown of the head, showing the royalty of this new creation, but also the heart. After we've done the exorcism, the removal of original sin, asking God to protect that space so that that can be your dwelling space now. You, God, into this individual person. It's easy for us to fall back into not blindness in the strict sense of the word, but we can grow cataracts if we're not careful with our life, which is why we take this time out in Lent to examine and say, have I been deceived or allowed deception into my life? That's what this gospel is all about, after all, is deception, light, and darkness. Thank God, though, he does what his Father did at the beginning of creation. Recall Genesis, where God got on his hands and knees, dug into the ground, created a paste, a saliva, and out of that came the human family. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. God is not leaving us in just the animal state, but rather he has breathed into us his very spirit, calling us to something different than every other aspect of creation. As beautiful and good as all of creation is, you and I, there's something more. And God wants that more for us. But if cataracts slowly grow, then we become cloudy with what we think and feel, and we'll become like those Pharisees who really think they see, but in fact they're the blind ones. Think of today in our culture right now, all the professionals in the world who have the authority to speak on particular issues of this or that nature, they're completely blind because they still see you and I as just animals. That all we are is for this world. They're blind to the reality that God made us for something more. And that more is the spiritual life. And if you and I are not cultivating that spiritual life within ourselves, maybe we will regress to an animal state. This is a great interchange between Jesus, the crowd, Pharisees, the parents, and the man who was healed. I love how the Pharisees are just so dug in to their own concept. How often I am that man. So dug into the way I see things. Not just the spiritual life, but think about the family gatherings we have and the arguments with siblings. I'm the priest. I'm always right. Not so. Or my older brother. He's the oldest. He's always right. Not so. Or my mother who runs the show. Well, she is always right. Even if she's wrong, she's right. Certain positions have their privilege. You and I are called this evening to simply take a moment and reflect on the interchange between all of these in this scripture passage tonight. Who are we in this story? On the one hand, we all are that blind person, and thank God for baptism. It doesn't just cover over our sinfulness and leave us in a depraved state. That's not our teaching on the sacrament. He enters into us, reconfigures us. And you and I are changed forever. Now, of course, we have to cooperate with that change. We have to cultivate it, nurture it, take care of it. God's done his part. Perhaps we are the Pharisee. Perhaps we're the mother and the father in this story who are so afraid of God that God might do something to us. And so we just play the ignorant role. Well, you know, let the school raise my kids. Let father raise the kid. Let the catechist raise my kids in the faith. I don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart. No, this is your child, born blind. Admit the truth so that the Lord can set him free. Perhaps we're just the crowd. The crowd, always the crowd, right? They just love an entertaining thing. They move from one entertainment to another, never engaged, never part of it. They just, what's next? Do another trick. Maybe we're the Lord, where you and I have encountered at times in our life being light when someone wants darkness, and we feel that collision that takes place between really saying what is right, this is what God wants of us, and having someone else say, no, I'll settle for less. I prefer darkness. Whoever we are in this story, God has a plan for us. We're here for a reason. God doesn't judge the way you and I do. God does not see as humans see. You and I spend so much time with our... I used a half a stick of deodorant today for this mass. I'm telling you, we are so concerned about our external appearances for the other. Maybe we should spend more time on the soul, the thing that God sees. What is my heart's intention? Lord, you alone know. Sometimes I don't even know. I'm still somewhat blind. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this week to help us. to give him praise and thanksgiving for this beautiful story, which reveals so much about his tender and personal love for each of us, and also what he desires for. He wants us to see. He wants to give us the anointing so that you and I can stand straight, stand tall, and continue the work that he has called us to in this journey.